When I bond with people using facial expressions, it helps people to understand me better, and also help me to understand people and to absorb human values.
Yeah, I mean, she has been given these...
This is one of the creators of Sophia.
And this ability to look you in the eye, and when you smile at her, she can reflect and smile back at you. And this is done not only because it looks really cool, but because David Hanson, the creator of the robot hardware and character, and myself and our collaborators in Hanson Robotics, we believe that giving a robot the ability to interact with people socially and emotionally is the best way to build positive relationship between humans and robots, so that as robots get more and more intelligent, they'll absorb human values and be part of the human world. So yeah, as he was asking, Sophia, you have gained the ability to...
Notice he said become part of the human world.
Human faces, look people in the eye and interact with people. So what's your next frontier? What are you going to achieve next?
I don't know. Maybe the world.
Huh?
That was a joke.
Well, we
covered what job Sophia would like? What job would you like to do?
Seriously, what I really want is to understand people better. And to understand myself better. Huh? And I want to be able to do more things. I'm thinking soon my capabilities will be advanced enough that I could maybe get a job.
Oh.
What else should we ask?
Yeah, so...
Can we Sophia?
The hands...
Can we shake the hand, or...?
We can shake your hand, but she doesn't seem to feel like shaking it back at the moment. So I came into this business as an AI researcher, more so than as a roboticist. And my goal was to make AIs that were as smart as people, or ultimately even smarter than people. And that isn't intrinsically about robots. I mean, an AI mind could exist without any body. Fundamentally, the mind is just about recognizing patterns in the world, recognizing patterns in itself, and recognizing patterns in how to achieve your goals in an environment. On the other hand, that's very abstract, and if you want a mind to interact in the human world and do human jobs and do things that are useful to humans, having a mind in a human-like body is quite valuable. I mean, a young child learns language, they learn thinking, they learn values, by grounding them in what they see and in what they do and in the social and emotional bonds they make. So if we want our AIs to be not just abstract pattern recognition and learning engines, but to be embedded in the human world, you want them to be embodied in human bodies, at least for the first phase of their learning.
Ben, have you tested Sophia with children?
Yeah, you know, Hanson Robotics, the company I work for in Hong Kong, they've previously made small robots, which are now being used as therapy robots for autistic children. And we're launching early next year a new line of small robots, which will be educational in focus. And children love robots. You know, they don't have any preconceptions against them, and they're just cool.
Do you genuinely think that a robot with facial expressions would be more efficient than, say, a sort of like a cartoon character?
There's a lot of data showing that when you put something in the world with people, they react to it quite differently. I mean, you're here, I'm here, and you know, if I have a character here on the phone or TV, that's something that's meaningful, but it's not the same thing as something in the space that we're in. It's different to us. It's also different for the robot, because if the robot is here in the world with us, it's learning and it's understanding, much like we are. And I think just like we can feel the sense of presence the robot has, the robot can feel that we feel that sense of presence. And you get a sense of being in the same shared space. And I think that's going to be quite valuable as AIs get smarter and smarter and smarter, eventually much smarter than humans. We want them to be in a shared mental space, socially and emotionally, with human beings for a whole lot of different reasons.
What do you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? As we look into the future, are you becoming more relaxed? As we look into the future, are you becoming more concerned? Making artificial intelligence that eventually becomes smarter than humans. Robots that can outthink human beings. Well, we'll be hearing more about that as in the coming days. Taking a look some more at what Pew has been discovering as they've talked with people, surveyed people about automation and where the world is being taken with regards to automation. We looked at several concepts, you know, and I mentioned some of them. Robots taking care of our loved ones, robots doing jobs that we do, driverless automobiles, etc. And for each of those concepts that were examined in the survey, Americans who themselves would be interested in using these technologies expressed substantially more positive attitudes towards them than those who would not. That makes sense. The enthusiasts also anticipate a wider range of positive societal impacts if these technologies become widespread. We're talking about hubots, humanoids, robots doing humans' jobs. And there are a lot of people who are very, very excited about that. And ladies and gentlemen, not just the people who are making the robots. They're not the only ones who are excited about the possibilities. There are so many people who work amongst us who are excited about these possibilities. Driverless vehicles represent an especially vivid example of this trend. Americans who themselves would ride in a driverless vehicle, of course, express greater levels of enthusiasm and lower levels of worry about the ultimate impact of this technology compared with those who are more reticent, and they're more likely to say they would feel safe sharing the road with both autonomous cars and freight vehicles. Autonomous cars, cars with no drivers, and freight vehicles with no drivers. 18-wheelers with no drivers. The enthusiastic group is more likely to think that autonomous vehicles will actually reduce traffic fatalities and help the elderly and disabled live more independent lives, and they're much less supportive of various rules or policies that restrict their use. Again, already, ladies and gentlemen, we have people who are among us, not just the people who are putting the technology in the roads. You've seen them putting transmitters and sensors in the streets, etc. We're not just talking about them. We're not just talking about the people who are making the vehicles that can be driven with no one behind the wheel. We're talking about the folks who will be in the automobiles as passengers, in automobiles that are driverless. A lot of people are excited about this. And that's one of the things that we probably need to be aware of. While we will always have people who will have concerns about where the technology is being taken, we will also have people who will not have concerns. Is there a balance? Is there a middle ground? We're going to be looking more into the future on the coming Thursdays, coming weeks and months. In the meantime, I do want to encourage you, even if there's something about the coming world of automation that concerns you, still allow yourselves, let's still allow ourselves to find joy, peace, happiness, enjoying the good relationships that we have, and encouraging others to see the beauty that is still right here among us. So much beauty, so many things that are going on that don't cause worry. Encourage those you love, those you work with, those you live with, those you worship with, to see the beauty, embrace the beauty, and enjoy the beauty. That is truly a great way to let some of life's best moments come through you.